I wish I could stand and address you today, but I had a second surgery on my right foot 2 weeks ago, and I've had to make certain adjustments in my life. So temporarily, I will be the sitting speaker. What we're going to walk you through is some information that largely comes out of the Consumer Beef Index. We run this twice a year because we want to stay current on what the consumer is thinking. It really helps in three ways. This is the demand drivers that the group that looked at committee structure was looking at and saying, what is really driving beef demand? And how can we organize around those factors? Number two, you'll see some important measures that tie back to the LRP. And number three, you're going to start seeing some of the challenges and the opportunities that the industry is up against. We benchmark against chicken. And you can see how we're doing versus chicken. And I think that's a good goal because, you know, we know the success that chicken has had. And you learn from your competitors. And we can learn some thoughts from this information, I think, that will help all the committees in you know, setting forth what they're trying to accomplish. Okay. So next slide, please. First thing, there is an overall measure for against the long-range plan, and it's a price measure. And in our industry, we have a relatively fixed supply. So price becomes a measure on whether people are willing to compete for our goods. And if there's demand, they're going to compete for our beef. So a high price is an indication that we have kept demand strong at any supply level. And that's why price becomes the proxy for the success. And it's also a very tangible thing. Everybody in this room knows that if price is good, if the prices are strong, the industry is in a better position. So that's why price becomes this number one overall measure. Next slide, please. Okay, we adjust over time. We adjust some of our measurements. You've probably seen a slightly different price measure in the past. That price measure was based on a mix of retail prices in the meat case. That's a good measure of price. It is a very strong component of the industry. The price measure you are seeing here is a wholesale price measure because the group that worked on the LRP felt that that was a good measure of overall demand because wholesale prices are impacted by both food service and retail and also on international. And the fact that international is competing for our beef. And so this is a measurement of how we're doing on a wholesale price measure. And you can see some definite movement, you know, over this time series as far as growing and declining demand as measured by price. And we're in a pretty good spot right now as far as seeing a strengthening in that measurement. On the far right side, you'll see the measurement, the most recent measurement for 2011 at 111. Okay, next slide, please. I've mentioned this already. At the end of the pipe, there's the consumer. And the consumer uses a blend of factors to help set the price for our goods, for our beef. And you're going to see those in a minute. I always tell people it's like buying a truck. You know, you want to know the durability, you want to know the maintenance, you want to know, is that truck going to, you know, do the job I need it to do? Okay, with beef, the consumer is the same thing. They're thinking about the taste of our product, they're thinking about the nutrition of their product, they're thinking about whether they can put a meal on the table in 30 minutes. They want to know it's safe. That is the bundle of factors on which the consumer decides whether they're going to pick our product up out of the meat case or buy it at a restaurant. And over time, we want the consumers to think about us in a strong way on all of those factors, and then they'll set a high price for our product. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, we have two measurements that we tie back to the first and the third pillar of the LRP. And it's the question, and I'm going to have you focus on the column on the left first. We asked folks, do the positives of beef outweigh the negatives, or do the negatives outweigh the positives? And then within the folks that say the positives outweigh the negatives, we ask if the positive strongly outweigh or somewhat outweigh the negatives. So these are the folks on the left that say the positives of beef outweigh the negatives. It's 74% of consumers. Okay? So we like to say they're beef likers and beef lovers. We also call them bucket one and bucket two. And we have a measurement in the LRP to lift that score. Now, if you look on the right side of that slide, we ask the same question about raising cattle. We say, do the positives of how cattle are raised outweigh the negatives? And this is for the group on the image committee. You can definitely see we do not score as strongly on our production process as we do for our final product. There's actually, you know, you can see a definite drop in both the highest bucket and in the second bucket to how people feel relative to our production practices. This ties to the third pillar of the LRP. Once again, it's a goal we want to watch. It's a goal where we want to see lifting scores. Okay? Next slide, please. This is our upside. Because if you look at the beef score on the left, you can see, yeah, there's 74% of consumers that feel pretty good about beef. The positives outweigh the negatives. But look at that number for chicken on the right. That's our upside. That's our upside of demand. That's and chicken, because of this, has seen a long-term growth in the frequency of how consumers use their product. Okay? We want to get where chicken is. Okay? And we look at that. We say, okay, where are we lagging chicken? Where could we lift our scores to be equivalent to chicken? Next slide, please. This is where you get down to where the committee structure started to occur. The numbers on this slide. First, you see on the left, number one. That tells you how important it is to the consumer in making a dinner decision. And the number one variable by which they decide if they're going to have beef, pork, chicken, poultry, or some other center of plate item for dinner is taste. Everybody wants a great tasty meal. And then the numbers in the bars off to the right of that number tells you how beef is doing and how chicken is doing. And you can see we're both scoring quite high. I always say taste is the crown jewels. It powers our price, and we can never let that score slip. But we also have to recognize that chicken has given us a pretty good race on taste. Number two, we want the product to be a good value. Okay? With high prices, we have seen a slight slip in beef score, and chicken beats us on value. That's why we have to taste better than chicken, okay, to support a better price and a better value in the consumer's mind. That's why we have to score well on other variables so they're willing to pay a higher price for beef. Number three, I always say you got to think like a mom. It's safety. I have an expectation that there's safety in my product. Number four, consistency. This is a great quality measure, okay? Largely, you can measure it by taste, you can measure it by tenderness, but it's also just the fact that the meal is as good as last week. Next slide, please. I want to have a balance of taste and nutrition, and we have seen improving scores in this measure over the last 5 years. Okay? So this, you can see where the Nutrition and Health Committee came out of that score. Next one, I just want to know I can prepare the product well. This is a challenge we have with the youngest generation. They don't know how to make a steak. And how can I make it easy for you and convenient for you to prepare beef well? Number seven, I want it to be a smart choice. That's kind of a bundle of all of those other things. If it's a good price, if I'm giving my family something healthy, if it's safe, I'm making a smart choice. We do not have a committee that's called the Smart Subcommittee. Okay? They're all going to be the smart committees. And finally, another measurement of the quality of our product. And I'm always surprised by this one. We have lifted our tenderness scores, but we still lag chicken on tenderness. Okay? Next slide, please. I'm going to really quickly walk through some factors that are shaping America right now and that I think are going to have an impact on demand moving forward. Number one, generations. I focus on that group on the left, and I focus on that group on the right. The group in the middle is the group that's going to work their way kind of, they're going to have the positions of power as the boomers on the left retire. Food spending is beginning to drop amongst baby boomers. The kids are out of the house. And you know, there's been some strength in restaurant use in boomers, but overall food spending drops. And food spending is starting to move to the right to that millennial generation. It's 80 million strong. It's bigger than that boomer generation. These are the folks that are intimidated by a steak. So generationally, we need to focus on the future. We need to focus on millennials. This is what millennials are about. Great question. Do you sleep with your cell phone? I put my cell phone in my sock drawer so it doesn't wake me up at night. But millennials are online and in conversation with their friends. Next slide, please. They're online and they're talking about our product. Really focus on the right side there. They're talking about beef safety, they're talking about beef's nutrition, they're talking about the environment, they're talking about animal rights, and on the bottom of the list, they're talking about beef's price. Beef's price is what's in the traditional media. We have to be ready to be involved in that dialogue that's going on the internet. Next slide, please. Households in America are getting smaller. 62% of households are now 1 to 2 people. We have to have the right product in the case for that group. We have to think about when they go out with their friends to restaurants that we have the right product in the restaurant for these smaller households in America. Next slide, please. We will have the most ethnically diverse population in this country, and it's going to become more ethnically diverse. Hispanics are expected to double, look at that, from 16% of the population up to 30% of the population by the year 2050. Last year, immigration of Asians exceeded the immigration into this country of Hispanics. It was the first time ever where the Asian immigration exceeded the Hispanic immigration. Okay. Next slide, please. We need to think about these people on the right side of this pie. It's 50% of America. It's been traditionally our strongest beef market. That group makes less than $50,000 a year. That means at the end of the month, their disposable income is around $300. Okay? So when the price of gas goes up, they walk to the meat case, they've got to find an economical choice in the meat case. Next slide, please. People are making dinner faster. If it takes longer than 40 minutes, 31% of consumers are not going to make that meal. You go to the right, if it takes 60 minutes, this is what's happened to our roast sales. 71% are not going to make that meal. Next slide, please. And here's one for the nutrition group. Right now, today, if you look on the right top corner, 34% of America is considered obese. About another third is considered overweight. Those numbers are going to climb. And eventually, we're going to need to get health care spending in some kind of control in this country. Right now, obesity is one-fifth of health care spending. This is going to be in the bullseye. We have to be on the right side of this dialogue. So I hope that helps everybody. That's what I focus on. I try to look at what's looming and what's going to happen to America.